It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right. Now, this week, this day, let's head down to the Peach State. Let's head down to Georgia. And we've got Jonathan Gambrill, who's going to talk to us about Georgia, how we do things down there. And we're just going to learn about the great state of Georgia. Jonathan, thanks for being here today.
Yep, no problem. Happy to be here.
Awesome, man. Thank you for stepping up and representing Georgia for this really unique project that we're doing. You know, we want to increase conversation and empathy for other states and see how everybody does things just a little differently, a little uniquely. So we're excited to learn about Georgia. Why don't we start maybe at a 30,000 foot level, introduce yourself, what you done there in Georgia. Let's make sure we know you're actually in Georgia and know what you're talking about today.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I actually born and raised in Georgia. I graduated from high school. Probably about 5 or 6 miles down the road from where I'm actually coaching now. Actually competed against the school that I'm at now and the current cross country coach. And don't know if about the track coach, but I know the current cross country coach that I help with now, he was actually at Marietta. So I actually competed against him and his kids in high school. I'm at Marietta now, high school in Marietta, Georgia. We're in the largest classification in Georgia. We have about 2,400 students. This is my second year there. I spent the previous 9 years at Hillgrove High School. So right out of college, was hired at Hillgrove to be head cross country assistant track coach and teach chemistry. Recently, about a year and a half ago, had a baby and kind of, you know, had an opportunity to open up at Marietta to be able to take a step back from head coaching. And, you know, when I left Hillgrove, I was two years, I was the head cross country and the head track coach. So just never a break. You being in the college coach, you can kind of understand that it's cross country and track. It's, you're never in an off season. It's always go, go, go. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. You know, the most interesting part about that is that Marietta High School is 2,400 students. Holy cow. That's a big school. I love
it. Yeah, we had a few schools in the close to 3,000, in 7A. Yeah. So, big schools, but yeah. So then, an opportunity to open up Marietta, just to be an assistant coach with cross country and track, take a step back from all the behind the scenes stuff that goes with head coaching. So I still get my coaching fix and still very involved with the program, but I am able to be more present, more of a dad at home, which has been a very big blessing and just something that I necessarily didn't know I was going to need or look for, but just the right opportunity opened up at the right time.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have spoken about this on the Gill Connections podcast, our regular Monday episodes, where, you know, we know coaching is important. There's, you know, there's no bigger fan of coaches than this guy right here. And yet that's not your number one role. And to this point about you being dad, man, dad first and foremost, all that you choose, dad, husband, son, you know, there's a lot of other roles for coaching. So glad to have you today. So let's start getting into Georgia here. First question, the kind of unpack here. In some states, they take public schools and private schools in different classifications or divisions or ruling body, if you will. What are we doing in Georgia? Are we separating those? Are we everybody competing against each other? What's going on down there?
Yeah, so we have our GHSA, which is the Georgia High School Association. That's the main, I guess, the large one that all your public schools are in. There are a number of private schools mixed in. We also do have there's a couple separate, I guess you could say, governing bodies where there's other private schools in those that they've chosen for whatever reason not to be members of GHSA. So yeah, we kind of have a mix of both. But GHSA is the main one, and there are a number of private schools that are mixed in the different classifications.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's talk about those classifications. How many, and what are they called? AAA, AAA, everybody has a little bit different name. How many we got going on in Georgia?
Yeah, so we're actually about to change next year. So right now we have the largest classification is 7A. So we go 7A all the way down to single A, but the single A, they divide up into, so in years past, it's been called private and public 1A. This past reclass, so we reclassify in Georgia every 2 years. So every 2 years, they relook at FTE counts and reshuffle the schools. So with the most recent reclassification, they actually changed it to the 1A. They broke up into Division 1 and Division 2. Not 100% sure why. But there's kind of been the debate in Georgia about private schools and their attendance zones and not necessarily recruiting, but having kids that come in maybe from, so like in the metro Atlanta area, we're a pretty big area, and you can have some private schools pull students way outside of their attendance zone, maybe for whatever reasons. And so the GHSA was kind of trying to appeal to, complaints or points brought up by, you know, member schools about an unfair advantage due to them pulling from, right, you know, not a traditional attendance zone that we public schools can pull from. So they kind of added a multiplier in, or they increased the multiplier to 3. So an out of zone kid would count as 3, not 1. Mm. So that shook things up a little bit in terms of where the private schools fell. But next year, so when we reclassify next year, we're going back down.
Hold on before you go to next year. Okay. Let's make sure I got this right for today. Yep. We've got, I'm going to call it 8 classes. So we have 7A, which is our largest. Then we go 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1 is 1A, D1, 1A, D2, Division 1, Division 2. Okay. Yep. Now, what are we going to? When you say going to 2024 or 2025?
Yeah, 2024, 2025 school year.
Yeah, okay. So, because when we publish this, this is April of 2024. So we're in that system today, but in the fall, we're going to move to?
We're going to move. So they're going to get rid of a classification, essentially. They're going to get rid of that 7A, drop back down to 6. When I was in high school I graduated in 2009. We only had 5 classifications. Then we went up to 6 and then 7. And now we're going back to 6A being the highest. So they'll redistribute the schools. 6A, the biggest classification, will probably get bigger, add more schools in. And the main reason is when you have more classifications, there's less. And I know we'll get into like how we qualify for state and everything. So there's less. We divide up into regions. There's less teams. So one thing was the travel, you know, trying to look at why are schools traveling this far to play. So trying to make more sense of the travel that kids are doing on school nights and that to compete within the region. That's kind of a big push to get back down to 6.
And that's a great point for a guy like me, because I'm a less classification guy. Like I like I love a 1 class, but, you know, can understand a 2 class, a small, big, if you will. But to your point, that's a great point, actually. We're talking about high school athletics. So the travel component has to be considered. And so more classes helps with that. Great, great point. So next year, 6A large, 5, 4, 3, 2. Are we still doing 2 in the 1? Is it 1A, D1?
Yeah, not sure. They're still meeting and talking. Probably if you look back, history will tell us they'll probably keep. And again, they called it private public 1A, and then they changed it. It is a predominant private, because you look at a small private school versus a small public school, there's going to be a difference in resources and just things available. So I think they try to get away from calling it that. But when you look at the schools that are in those divisions, it is It is a heavy public-private split.
Got it. Okay, so let's get into how we're qualifying. So we have our state meet, but before we get to the state meet, what's our first round? Everybody's little area district sectionals and some two, three, four rounds. What's our initial round for the Georgia State Series?
Yeah, so our initial round, I guess you would call region. So in every classification is divided up into eight regions. Okay. Now, the reason for the way it's set up is mainly for your like football playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to be true of a lot of states.
Yeah, that's the football, common theme is that's what runs it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, football pushes a lot of things that then like, and you know, cross country and track and field is a lot different. We don't necessarily need to qualify the way that, you know, football or other sports do, but nonetheless, so we have region. So like, for example, our region is made up of five teams.
Okay.
So
start with region. How do I qualify for region? Is it an all comers? You get to have three in each event, or is there any kind of qualifying standard for region?
Yeah. Every team, you can enter three kids per event.
Good.
So whatever, we kind of changed the rules a few years ago, to where now you can have a kid entered in four events. It used to be a little more complicated in terms of like, well, you can have a kid in four events, but two individual, two relay, or three. Like, it was very, there's a lot of moving pieces. So they kind of simplified it and said, hey, an athlete can compete in four events total. It can be four field events, four relays, four running, a mix, but you only get four, when you go from our state qualifying series. So yeah, the first one would be region. We have five teams in our region. Mm-hmm. Each team can enter three. So you're looking at a max of 15 kids per event,
right?
At the region meet.
And what's the next one called? And how many from region get to go to that next one?
So our next meet is called the sectional meet. Okay. And so from region, you have to be in the top three places individually to qualify. Wait, let me think. Top three. No, sorry. Top four.
Top four?
Top four at region. So ideally, you could have a team have their three athletes finish in the top four, and the all three would go on to the sectional.
That's right, because they can put in three and say the 100. They could go one, two, and three, and so all three are going to sectionals, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Sectionals. You said there was eight regions. How many sectionals are we doing?
Two. Yeah. So each sectional meet puts four regions together.
So I'm assuming if we're doing two sectionals, the next round is the state meet.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, good. As I say, if you try to throw one else in there, I'll have to go down to Georgia.
So sectionals, we have 16, four from each region. And so four regions per site. And so 16 total entries per event at the sectional meet.
Okay. How many from sectionals are qualifying to state in each event?
Top eight.
Top eight. So you're taking 16.
So we're taking 16, on the line at the state meet.
Any at-larges, wild cards, anything like that? Just top 16? Top 8?
Top 16,
The two sectionals?
Yeah, top 8 from each sectional, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. Different states are probably different. One thing the GHSA is big on is representation. So kind of, even some coaches in our state will argue that region is part of the state championship series. Therefore, everybody is represented, so it shouldn't matter at the state meet. But GHSA still, in some ways, tries to keep, because like in Georgia, there's a really, you can see big differences in our like metro Atlanta schools versus our like rural South Georgia schools, that some of them are still, compete in 7A. So they try to make sure that, in some way, they're trying to, make it fair, make it to where we at least have some more equal representation across, not only the regions and classification, but like across the state. Now you're probably going to have a more predominant, representation from the metro area just due to the sheer population. But they do want to try to get some of those more rural regions still represented at the state meet.
So Georgia, we go regionals, top four out of there, go on to a sectional meet where the top four from there go on to, no, I'm sorry, top four go to, from regions, go to sectionals. From sectionals, our top eight go to the state meet. There's two sectionals, so we're taking 16 athletes per event. Are we doing a semifinal final, or do we just run two heats of the 100 and the fastest time is the state champion?
Yeah, so we do semifinals, yep. in the 1, the 2, in the 4, and in the 8. Mm-hmm. 16 and 32 are straight finals. Mm-hmm. 4x1, we'll have prelims, and I believe this next year, I'd have to go back, and they were talking about getting rid of some prelims in the 4x2 and 4x4, mm-hmm. and just running those straight sections versus time, just because when you start look, because we do a 3-day state meet, and if you start looking at the kids entered in 4 events, and if they're trying to run prelims for their it's just a lot. Yeah. So they're kind of looking at, hey, we could probably consolidate some of this down and go straight finals.
All right, so you gave away a little bit of the next question. So all 7, call it 8 classes, so it's a 3-day meet. Are all of those held at the same venue? And what venues are you choosing? Are you typically going to a college? Are you rotating amongst high schools? Is there a set every year? The state meet is at XYZ venue. What are we doing there for the state meet?
Yeah, so for the longest time, we were boys and girls separated. Hmm. All the girls' teams, all classifications went down to Albany, and the boys, all classifications went to Jefferson High School.
Separate weekends?
Separate weekends.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Good.
Yeah. And so, like, as a coach, you're missing, because Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back to back weekends in May, you're missing 4 days of school at the end of the school year, which finally, so then they combine. And, you know, depending on the coach, some programs here are split boys and girls. Some programs, the head track coaches, the head boys, head girls coach, it just depends on the school and the district, how they do that, how they break the stipends up. But then, you know, a lot of coaches are like, you know, we're, you know, our teams, you know, the energy, they feed off of each other. And now we're separating them. This is the only meet of the year we would separate them for. Mm. And just the logistics of being out of school was just a lot. So a while, I don't know, maybe it's been maybe 6 or 8 years ago, they combined it to boys and girls at the same site, but then they broke it up into different sites. So we don't have everybody at the same site. Some of them, like Berry College, is one that hosted for a while, and then COVID happened, and so we couldn't go there, and we haven't been back yet, but they have a great, great facility, great venue. I always love going up there. We had, like, McEachern High School is right around the corner from us. They've hosted the state track meet. So kind of the way I don't know all the inner workings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's politics involved, but, you know, a school or whoever applies to be a host, they go through that process, and then they select hosts based off that. It could be a high school, it could be a college, it could be, but there's no real focus to say we want to go to all the college campuses or kind of, and I think they kind of look at geography. They try to pair classifications to reduce travel. You're not always going to do that, but, you know, they try to look at that as well. But yeah, I think this past year we had 4 different state meet sites, each hosting 2 classifications.
And now we're doing boys and girls at the same weekend.
Correct.
As well.
Yeah. 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 Awesome. So boys, and, which is good. Now coach is only giving up that 1 weekend. Mm-hmm. It is kind of like, you do miss out on some of, like, the big performances that happen at other sites. So that's kind of, but I think the switch to, you know, boys and girls combined was for the good.
And any kind of meet of champions after the state meet?
There is Atlanta Track Club. They host, like, a Wingfoot Night of Champions. It's hit or miss, though. Mm-hmm. It's not, I know, like, New Jersey, I feel like, mm-hmm. I hear all the time, like, the meet of champions is, like, the, like, everybody who can go goes kind of thing. And in Georgia, the meet of champions for us is just, I mean, sometimes you get the top in the state to compete. Sometimes you don't. It just depends on where they're at in terms of burnout or ready to be done. Or so, a lot of your summer track kids will go to it because they're, you know, they have the whole summer to compete. Yeah. Whereas, like, distance wise, it's hit or miss because, you know, kids are getting ready for summer training for cross country and things like that.
So the culture is just not there yet for Georgia that, hey, yep, state meet. That was awesome. That's great. We gave a team trophies. Yeah. That's what we're after. But now there's a meet. It's like you were mentioning in New Jersey, the culture there is, oh yeah, that is on your schedule regardless, as long as you qualify.
Like the state meet is the state meet, like for us kind of is the end all be all in track. Right. And so it's like, it's hard for kids to, you know, go to state one weekend and turn around the next weekend and try to just emotionally get hyped up for it. Certainly. You can't match the nerves and the whatever of the state meet. So that's why, and you don't really, I mean, I used to send kids for a few years and it's just, you never see the performances, or we didn't really always see the performances we thought. So we're just like, if a kid wants to go, by all means, you know, we'll, if they qualify, we'll enter them. But yeah, there isn't that culture of an all class state champion is not, didn't have that yet.
Makes sense. Hopefully all right. Let's talk about your events. You mentioned one. Now, this is a hard question because I'm going to ask you, what are some unique events that you maybe do in Georgia that aren't the quote unquote standard, but they're just normal events for you? So this is a little bit of a hard of a question. You already mentioned one. You know, the 4x2 is unique in the sense of not every state. I don't think most states, we'll find out, do the 4x2. But what about, and you mentioned the 16x32, so you're not doing anything there. What about javelin, pole vault, triple jumps? What are we doing? Anything different or unique there for Georgia high school?
Yeah, I would say probably the two unique would be 4x2 and the 4x8.
Okay, that's right. 4x8's not everywhere.
We run the 4x8. I don't know. We've had the big argument in Georgia all the time. You know, us quote unquote distance coaches. We wanted to add the 4x8. You know, and then, you know, we can get in the argument: is the 800 a sprint, or is it, you know, what side do you approach it from, kind of thing. So we were advocating for the 4x8 sprint. Coaches kind of said, well, if you're going to add a distance event, you need to add a sprint event. And we're like, well, I don't know. If you do the 800, right, it is a sprint event. And I'll tell you, it's taken a couple years, but sprint coaches are starting to figure out that the 800 is a sprint. And cool. So we're seeing the 4x8 really get competitive because, you know, you're taking some of those kids who had not run it and running it. So, but yeah, we don't do javelin. We do the traditional long jump, triple jump, high jump, shot put, discus, pole vault. But yeah, I would say the 4x2 and 4x8 are probably the two uniques that are not going to be, I mean, some states do them, but then some don't.
What about after the state meet? Some states do unofficial state meets, so heptathlon, decathlons, or a hammer event or anything like that. Anything like that going on?
No, the state meet is the end of all of our sanctioned events.
Awesome. I like that. All right, let's settle an argument here. What's the culture like, at least for you in Georgia? Do you qualify for the state meet or do you qualify for states?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard both in Georgia. The one that's probably more common would be qualify for the state meet or just say qualify for state. I would lean towards that. I don't like the qualifying for states. That's personal preference.
Some people are very passionate one way or the other. That's why we're going to settle this. We're going to have 50.
Yeah, votes. I wouldn't say I'm passionate, but yeah. Whenever I like scroll on Twitter and see states, I just like cringe just a little bit.
Fair enough. All right. Jonathan, you get one, only one. You get the magic wand. If you were going to change one thing about the Georgia high school state qualifying system, what would you do?
Yeah, probably back to something you had mentioned earlier. I would have some sort of like time or mark, like a minimum that if you met that, you could go to state looking. And you know, not just any random one, but looking at past performances. Ideally, we're not wanting to load it up and just go crazy, but you know, and it's probably true. It's true in every state. You got some regions that are just loaded. Like you got kids who finish fifth at their region meet, don't go to state, but could have been top eight at state. Now our competition has at the state meet has gotten a lot better once they let three entries per team, that kind of thing. But there's still some kids. And, you know, I look at, you know, we do 16 athletes at the state meet, but when we only have two classifications per site, we do have a lot of downtime where we could throw in another heat or something like that. So whether you say, hey, we're going to take eight more kids that didn't qualify, that met the mark, or whatever that would be. I think some at large or something could be beneficial and just help. I don't, and we always had this argument in Georgia amongst the coaches. I don't think we're leaving the state champ at home by any means. So that will be some of the arguments against. I mean, and so I don't think we're leaving a state champion at home per se, but we might be leaving, you know, a sixth, seventh, eighth place at home that could help in the team, you know, helping the team points. So that's that's what I would probably change.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think we're going to see throughout the state series here in April and May of 2024. I think that's going to be some states do, and I think some states don't. So that'll be interesting to see who and how and what their drawbacks might be for the ones that do that as well. Yeah. Jonathan, it's always hard to represent an entire state, but you did a great job. I'm so grateful for you stepping up and leading there to help us learn more about the Peach State and what you guys do there in Georgia. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.